Russia's foreign minister visits African countries to shore up support. That's as the Wagner Group expands its operations on the continent. So is Moscow's increasing security presence in Africa a threat to US and French influence? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the programme. I'm Adrian Finnegan. Sergei Lavrov is visiting Mali this week in the first official trip by a Russian foreign minister to the West African nation. Mali's junta has turned to Moscow to help it fight armed groups, and fighters from the Wagner Group have replaced troops from the former colonial power, France. Wagner is a private military organisation run by an ally of President Vladimir Putin and now operates in several African countries. Is Moscow extending its reach in Africa at the expense of Western powers? We'll go to our panel in just a moment. But first, a report from Laura Kahn.
Russia's foreign minister is on his second trip to the African continent in 2 months. Sergei Lavrov is shoring up support as relations deteriorate with the West over the war in Ukraine. On Sunday, and just one day before the scheduled touchdown of Russian foreign minister Lavrov's flight in Bamako, Mali expelled the head of the UN Human Rights Mission.
The government's decision to declare the head of MINUSMA's human rights section persona non grata. As a consequence, he must leave the country within 48 hours.
Mali's military rulers have been turning to Moscow since they came to power in a 2020 coup and following a diplomatic rupture with the former colonial power, France. Last year, Paris withdrew its troops from the region, ending Operation Barkhane. It's been battling armed groups there since 2013. This left a gap which allowed Russian fighters from the Wagner Group to help combat armed groups. In 2018, Al Jazeera met Russian fighters from Wagner, training soldiers from the Central African Republic. It's also been operating in Libya, Mali, Mozambique and Sudan. During a speech in Eritrea, Lavrov showed that Russia would be a bulwark of economic support in Africa.
No hybrid wars of the West, including in Ukraine, will be able to stop the development of new centres of economic power, financial and political influence.
This map results of a UN vote in March shows how divided African nations were in condemning Russia's invasion of Ukraine. 28 voted in favour, 8 didn't vote, and 17 abstained. That included South Africa, which has historically strong relations with Russia and the former Soviet Union. In January, Lavrov announced a plan for military drills with Russia and China that will form the anniversary of the war in Ukraine. Russia's struggle against Western powers is playing out in Africa as it drums up strategic support, turning it into a diplomatic playground. Laura Hahn, Inside Story, Al Jazeera.
Let's bring in our guests for today's discussion from Moscow. We're joined by Sergei Markov, who is director at the Institute of Political Studies from Ankara, Avigwe Agwegu, who's a policy analyst at the consultancy Development Reimagined that focuses on Africa. And in Paris, we're joined by Jazeen Weber, who's a fellow at the German Marshall Fund of the United States. A warm welcome to you all. Sergei, let's start with you. What does Russia want in Africa? Does it want access to mineral resources? Does it want business for Russian companies, military partnerships, to humiliate former colonial powers in Africa? All of those, or is it just that it needs all the friends it can get at the moment?
I think all of those goals which you mentioned about, they are reasonable. First of all, famous, most effective in the world, private military company Wagner, making it a business. They're making military consultant to the Mali government, to the Central African Republic government, to Burkina Faso government and some others. It's the business. They're getting money from this. Also, because of strategic military cooperation with Mali government, Wagner and another Russian business group can have different contracts and to get some money. Also, because friendly relation between Russia and Mali government, Russia can develop economic cooperation with Mali and sell oil without oil cap, without this limitation of price, grain to send to sell grain and some others. And the fact that France is very quite offended by this Russian behavior, it's not maybe pragmatic, but also a pleasing thing. From our point of view, France now is enemy. It's France is part of the hybrid war against Russia. France weaponry killing Russian soldiers and support terror against pro-Russian political forces in Ukraine. And more problems to France. Of course, it's psychologically positive.
So hang on. Did you say that France is killing Russian soldiers in Ukraine?
Yes, because France is giving weaponry and officers who is play off as instructors for right. Ukrainian repressive regime, okay. And they're killing Russian soldiers.
Okay, I don't really want to get bogged down in Ukraine. This is a discussion about Africa at the moment. I just wanted you to clarify that remark.
Yeah,
Avigwe, let's put this to you then. What is Russia doing in Africa right now? Will its engagement bring about the peace, the development that many of the countries that it has security partnerships with want?
Yeah, I think if you go back to the 2019 Russia-Africa summit in Sochi, you see the signs of what Russia is really trying to achieve with the continent. And it's really important to start from that from 2019 because that predates the war in Ukraine, and about 40 African leaders were present, and you could see from the tone and the communication that Russia is indeed very keen on forming strong relationship with African countries, area of political relations, energy security, and so on and so forth. But at the moment, one of the clear needs that Russia really wants to maintain, at least, or even to show up his influence on the continent, because post Russia's invasion of Ukraine, there's been a lot of need for Russia to have friends and to avoid diplomatic isolation. And African countries, about half the country, the continent is actually split in half of the continent is split in half, rather, with half voting to be neutral or at least or against the resolution that we saw in the UNG in March, last year and onwards. So. The diplomatic angle is very important for Russia because as the war goes on, there is likely to be more and more of these incidents where there is need for friends and allies to vote in accordance with this position. Also, it's also important to understand the dynamic here that it's not just about Russia, but also African countries themselves, because the Russians are not coming putting guns in the African to the African leaders to say, you have to employ our services or bolster ties with us. African countries have legitimate interests that they are pursuing with Russia as well, particularly in the area of security. But we would see from the pattern of the cooperation in security, I think it remains to be seen how well that translates more into national security, because so far it's more of a regime security, even though these advisors, as they claim to be, are, of course, advising the government in terms of the broader issues of security of terrorism and other transnational crimes.
Jazine, in Paris, Russia's foreign minister has wined and dined his way through African capitals in recent months, welcomed by most as an old friend. Is the West being outmaneuvered by Russia in Africa?
Well, France has already made it quite clear last year that the operations of the Wagner Group in Mali are not compatible with the engagement of or with the deployment of French forces. And that is also why France withdrew its forces from Mali. But I think that we are overall seeing a shifting pattern in the region, also by, for example, by the fact that the Human Rights Director of the United Nations mission for stabilization in MINUSMA has been expelled from Mali, and also that more and more Western countries, such as, for example, Sweden or the UK, have been withdrawing their forces from the MINUSMA version. So indeed, Western countries are pulling out here, and we see that this is also due either because they are expelled or because they are declared as not welcome, because these activities of stabilizations are just not compatible with what Wagner is doing. But what we also see in the region overall is that security cooperation or like counterterrorism stabilization looks much and looks more and more like a competition for geopolitical influence.
Sergei, you mentioned the Wagner Group. What is it doing on the ground in Africa? The Wagner Group stands accused of committing human rights abuses. The Kremlin denies that it has anything to do with its presence there, that it's not officially sanctioned by Russia. It has no legal status internationally. Why does Russia tolerate its presence there? Or can Russia not achieve its aims in Africa without it?
I think that Mali government has problems with security because Tuaregs and African branch of Al-Qaeda. And the Mali government prepare to use French militaries, French troops to secure, to preserve their security. But France was not able to do it. And it was decision of the president of France, Macron, to reduce military presenting in Mali in the condition when the security threat to Mali appeared to be not smaller, but bigger.
But can,
in such conditions...
You say that France was unable to do it. Can the Wagner Group do it? I mean, as I said to you in the question, they're accused of human rights atrocities on the ground.
We believe that those international organizations which controlling so-called human rights issues, they are politically corrupted and they are lying. If some political organization not directly accused, for example, Ukrainian government for the sharp, total violation of human rights, it means that it's not honest and it's no reason to trust to such an organization. Wagner is very effective for the government. And, you know, sometimes these military clashes in Africa appear to be quite cruel. And high effectiveness of Wagner come to the fact that more and more African governments want to invite Wagner to help them.
Avigwe, what do you make of that? What are the dangers for African states in cozying up to Russia, particularly the ones who are being propped up by Russian arms and mercenaries?
I think one of the things to actually start the conversation with is why they are there in the first place. If you go back to Mali in particular in 2013 and 2012-2013 when the issue of stability was really high, we saw of course MINUSMA being deployed and from 2013 to present still very much active Operation Barkhane. So there is of course the logic that if these two operations haven't worked as large as they are, MINUSMA about 15,000, Operation Barkhane until it was they drew down and withdrew was about 5,000, then the question of can a few thousand Russian mercenaries really do what about 17,000 troops couldn't do? If anyone who says they can, I think that is being naive or just being dishonest. However, the African government themselves, they have the right and the sovereignty to decide who their security partners should be. And if at this point in time, these are, of course, bearing in mind, these are military officers leading the government, so they know what war is like, they know what the security needs of their country is. And if they believe that it is Wagner that can provide that security, well, I think we'll have to wait and see the result. But considering the scale of problems that was what of course seen in West Africa and in Sahel, I think it is not possible that Wagner will be able to provide the kind of comprehensive, you know, security that West Africa needs, or at least the Sahel needs. Now, if that is a likely outcome, then what are the costs? And the costs are already very, very clear. For instance, you would see the pressure already coming from, you know, Western countries. You know, Mali has been kicked out of AGOA. The United States kicked out Mali out of AGOA. And then we're also seeing the U.S. You know, also passing an act last year, April, H.R.O. 7311. I think it's the Countering Malign Russia Act Activities in Africa, which the AU has rejected, the Southern African Development Commission community has rejected, because the concern is that that act is going to create a legislative framework for sanctioning countries. So the diplomatic costs are already building up. The economic isolation is already happening. And even worse is that countries in the region, neighbors of Mali or Burkina Faso, are even very, very concerned. In the last U.S.-Africa summit in the U.S., the Ghanaian president, you know, expressed his concern, and when he mentioned the fact that Burkina Faso has actually contacted, you know, Wagner. Bearing in mind, the Burkina Faso junta has already said, told the U.S. Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland during her visit that they wouldn't contract the services of Wagner. So what we're seeing is everyone except the government in Mali, in Burkina Faso, is really concerned. But I think the emphasis of the Malian government or the Burkinabe government has to be within the region.
Yeah.
What the United States is saying, what Europeans think, is relevant. But I think regional countries need to be their first priority outside of their own countries, because these problems are regional and they require regional solutions.
Jacine, with Africa increasingly becoming something of a political chessboard, what is Europe's game plan, its long-term strategy? Does it even have one? And what about the US, which is also guilty of propping up authoritarian regimes and ignoring human rights abuses? I suppose the one advantage that the US has over Russia right now is money, which it can throw at Africa.
So, in fact, it's a bit difficult to speak about Europe's game plan here, because I recall that the competence of the European Union when it comes to foreign and security policy, or also security and defense policy, is still running through the member states. So all these decisions are taken by unanimity, which means that it very much depends on what national governments prioritize as strategies vis-a-vis Africa. In fact, one game plan, if you want to put it like that, or let's better say one approach that is widely shared by Europeans, so by the EU, but also by the UK, is that basically all Europeans say that we need a so-called connected approach to security, which relies on improving the living conditions and to eliminate, for example, the root causes of instability, which then potentially could also fuel terrorism and overall, a more unstable region. So the idea is really to eliminate that. However, we see that the current situation makes that increasingly difficult for Western countries, even though, for example, the EU has just extended the mandate of its capability building mission in Mali. But I guess we might see some reconsiderations there in the next months, potentially, as well. But the thing is, we also see that, for instance, France has halted its official development aid in late 2022. So overall, Europeans are really reconsidering their approach to the region right now. If I may, one word maybe on the US. Overall, and particularly before Russia's war against Ukraine, the US saw Africa more, and particularly also crisis management in Africa, support, like capability building and so on, saw that particularly as a European responsibility. But in the context of Ukraine and also the increased Russian activity in the region, I think that the US will approach this question also from a more geopolitical angle and also more think about questions of influence there.
Sergei, exclusive resource extraction deals have been central to several security commitments between Russia and several African governments. Is the Kremlin using Africa to financially sustain its special military operation in Ukraine?
You know, indirectly, of course, we can say about this. But if Russia will make some economic deal with Mali, some Russian private companies, this private company will pay taxes to Russian budget, and the Russian budget will be used for military operation. But it will take so much time that in fact, it doesn't work, because we believe that Russia will finish its military operation and will establish peace and security in Ukraine quite quickly during this year. And so the money from the Russian Mali private business will come only already after this war will be over. But you should take into account that African countries also very much remember that Russia, during all history, support the anti-colonial war. That's why Africans love Russians, they respect Russians, they want to rely on Russians, and African countries, of course, they use cooperation with Western countries, but sometimes they regard Western countries as a colonial or new colonial countries. It's exactly a Russian main message. United States, Britain, France, and other European countries, they want to re-establish new colonialism system.
Okay, Vigre, let's pick up on that. Russians are highly respected in Africa. Maybe, I suppose, given that it's sending weapons to prop up authoritarian regimes and military governments, what about the people, though? Do people in Africa see Russia as an ally? Will Russia ultimately become as despised, perhaps, as the former colonial powers? The younger generation in Africa is pretty clear that it sees the future as African democracy. That's how they want to be governed in the future. Will they tolerate any Russian or Western presence on the continent in the long term?
So if you look at the coups that have been happening, in every scenario, you always find Africans waving the Russian flag and speaking to how they support the incoming military government, and they want partnership with Russia. And just like the previous speaker said, yes, there is a lot of positive sentiments towards Russia, and it I would say even the Russians are punching way above their weight, because, for instance, Russian FDI as a percentage inflow into Africa is about 1%. That is very, very low. And in many countries, the bilateral trade is very much negligible. So how and what is sustaining, you know, this friendship? I think a lot of it has to do with the anti-colonial struggle, but also a lot of it has to do with the resentment of the West. And that is particularly true, not necessarily the West. I think you have to single out France in this case. And that's particularly true for countries like Mali, Central African Republic, and Burkina Faso. So there is that fact, but also this African generation, of course, want partnerships that work. So it's a bit risky in the sense that Russia is not stepping into the security space more, and there's also the risk of failure. And if it fails, it is going to hemorrhage all of the goodwill that it has in many parts of the country. And the real threat or the real risk of that lies in the fact that if these countries like Mali and Burkina Faso do not have a proper approach to dialoguing with countries within the region, I keep emphasizing this because many of the problems that they are going to face, whether with security, whether with political pressure from the West, would greatly be determined by how much buy-in that regional countries, their neighbors, have, because these new regional countries can multiply the political pressure that the West is going to be exerting on them. But at the same time, these regional countries can be the solution to the security challenges that they say brought them into power in the first place.
Okay. Shazeen, you touched upon it just a few minutes ago. How do you see the broader trajectory for European engagement in Africa with things such as development aid? I mean, if that stops, the cycle of violence that we're seeing in many of these countries, the poverty, the poor living conditions, investment in infrastructure, I mean, all that will stop, won't it?
Yes, there is indeed the risk that we can see this trajectory becoming real. And this is, of course, of great concern for Europeans, because security and stability of countries in Africa also is closely associated with European security. So the idea of, for example, terrorist strongholds being or emerging in Mali would be extremely problematic for Europeans. Also, overall instability might cause new migration on the one hand on the continent, which could then further, of course, deteriorate living conditions for people there, but also lead to the need for a broader response. And this at a time where Europeans also are still struggling to redesign their migration policies. So overall, the situation is, I think, of great concern for Europe and will be watched closely. Although, as things are really dynamic and changing quite quickly, it will be difficult to respond to that with a really long-term strategy.
OK. So, I mean, in short, Europe can't afford not to be engaged in Africa right now.
That is difficult to say, and I think it really depends on the conditions on the ground. So I think the French president has made it clear that involvement of Wagner Group is not compatible with the involvement of French troops.
Okay.
And, for example, the German defense minister has recently underlined that that the engagement of the German armed forces in the MINUSMA, so in the UN mission, does, I quote, not make sense under the current conditions. So I think there are really considerations still going on.
OK. There, I'm afraid we're going to have to end it. We're out of time. Many thanks indeed for being with us, all of you. Sergei Malkov in Moscow, Evgeny Agwegu in Ankara, and Shazeen Weber in Paris. As always, thank you for watching. Don't forget you can see the programme again at any time by going to the website at aljazeera.com. For further discussion, join us at our Facebook page. You'll find that at facebook.com/AJInsideStory. And, of course, the conversation continues on Twitter. Our handle at AJInsideStory. From me, Adrian Finnegan, and the team here in Doha, thanks for being with us. We'll see you again. Bye for now.